1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up in a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And then going down to verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. But ye are a chosen generation. And that next phrase is what I'm preaching about today, a royal priesthood. A royal priesthood. Would you pray with me today that we would all answer the call of God in our life, that ministry that God has for us, our purpose, that we would take up the task of becoming a royal priesthood, a royal priesthood. Lord, I thank you for the moving of your Spirit. I thank you for the working of the Holy Ghost. I pray that your will be done in every single heart, in every single life. Lord, we need you more than ever. And I believe you have a work for us to do. I believe you have a ministry for every single believer today. I believe, Lord, that you're opening doors. You're making a way for us to be used in these last days. And I pray that you would help us to take hold of that calling, of that purpose, that every single one of us would step into what you want to do through us. We give you the praise for it, Lord. We worship you today in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. He's great and greatly to be praised. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated, except for Brother Andrew. Except for Brother Andrew. Everybody else, I want to welcome today. Well, she made it a little bit this past week, and I didn't. So this is not her first service, but this is the first time I'm introducing her. This is Evangeline Opal Brassfield. Would you just welcome this new member to our church? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen. Folks, if you hadn't had a baby in the last year, you need to get on board. We're trying to grow this church. Amen, amen. God's good. We're excited for new babies. Amen. And we're getting the nursery and the kids' classes all remodeled because I'm believing for exponential growth in our kids' ministry. Amen. Praise the Lord. The church that Jesus built. I pray that's who we are today. Not the church that pastor built. Not the church that man built. Not the church that a denomination built. We want to be the church that Jesus builds. The Bible tells us that Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, it says that we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. If we're to be his church, then it's our job to make sure the church is what he wants us to be. Come on, is that what we desire today? Is that what we're seeking after? To be the church that Jesus called us to be. Where the church got in trouble was not long after the 12 apostles died. Men started making the church into their own idea of what it should be. And they changed things from what Jesus had designed into what they thought was better. The structure of the church changed. The doctrine of the church changed. The practices of the church changed until the church was so much different from what had been established on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Amen. For hundreds of years, this continued until Martin Luther came along in the 16th century, and he challenged much of what the Roman Catholic Church had taught. For that, Luther was charged with heresy. He was excommunicated, and that's what he got from calling them out. But the stand he took is credited for starting the Protestant Reformation. It wasn't a complete restoration of the church, but it was a start. And it was starting to get back to what Jesus had designed his church to be. And so as that journey continued over the years, there would be groups at a time that would make they'd make great steps at reviving the New Testament church pattern. And others they'd only come so far, and then they'd stop along the way. And that's why today we have so many different churches in the world. From the Catholic Church to those that are striving to be New Testament apostolic churches, and everything in between. Many churches today, they've come out of the Catholic Church, but they still hold to some of the same practices. They haven't made it all the way back yet to the church that I believe Jesus wants us to be, the same thing that was in the New Testament. That's God's will for the church. And I do happen to believe today that there is another awakening stirring. And I believe this will be the greatest awakening before the coming of the Lord. I believe that whole church congregations at a time will have revelations of truth. And they will do whatever it takes to get back to the pattern that Jesus Christ established. Amen. We want to do whatever it takes to be His church. Our prayer needs to be, Lord, open our eyes. Amen. Don't let us be blinded by the God of this world. Don't let us miss the apostolic pattern for the church that you established. But we want to be pleasing to you. We want to be your church. Amen. Let me just kind of prophesy by faith today that I believe this church will be instrumental in helping whole congregations see the revelation of truth. To see that Jesus is the mighty God in Christ. That we're to be baptized in water in the name of Jesus. And that the infilling of the Holy Spirit, it comes with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. That's the pattern that was established in the book of Acts. And I believe today God is going to use this church to help whole other congregations see that revelation. God, I believe, is going to give us influence in the religious world, and people are going to be drawn by something they don't understand. It's going to be the power of the Holy Ghost. But hear me today, if we will let God use us, it's going to be a mighty revival that will shake this region and shake the world. When's it going to happen, Pastor? I don't know, but I'm praying for it. I'm believing for it. I'm looking for open doors. I'm praying God will give us contacts with people that are hungry for truth. Praise the Lord. Let's have a little history lesson today. What did the church look like at that time of the Great Reformation? The medieval Catholic Church taught that grace came through the sacraments, which were ministered or administered only by ordained priests. When the Reformation came about, people started looking at scriptures like 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And Hebrews 4:14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The Reformation brought this out again, that Jesus is our great high priest, and every believer has direct access to God. Before the Reformation, the Bible was usually in Latin, which meant most common people could not read it. They had to depend on priests to tell them what it said. Does anybody see where that could be abused? Okay. Ministry became identified exclusively with ordained priests. The ministry was done by them. They were the link between God and man. Instead of confession being directly to God, a priest had to take your confession. Worship became something that, well, most people just watched a few do it, instead of being something that everyone participated in. The Reformation started changing that, and they brought congregational singing, public scripture reading, prayer by all instead of just a priest. And one of the main things that came out of the Protestant Reformation was the idea of a priesthood not restricted to just a select few, but rather a priesthood of all believers. We are all called to serve. We are all called to minister. We are all called to witness. We've all been given spiritual gifts. We all have a place in the kingdom of God. The Catholic Church had gone back to the Old Testament practice of needing a priest to be the intercessor between God and man. But when Jesus died on the cross, his sacrifice as the perfect Lamb of God, it changed things from the model of the Old Testament. Instead of a priest entering once a year into the Holy of Holies and to intercede for people's sins, now we're able to approach the throne of God ourselves. Aren't you thankful for that? When Jesus died, the veil in the temple was torn, and it was torn from top to bottom. Only God could have done that. It was a veil that was about 4 inches thick, the thickness of the width of a man's hand, and it ripped 60 feet from top to bottom. That was an act of God, signifying that no longer would God's Spirit be dwelling in temples made with hands, but now His Spirit lives in our heart. 1 Corinthians 3:16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Instead of us having to find a priest somewhere to go to God through that priest, no, God dwells in us, and there is now a priesthood of all believers instead of only a select. Study the book of Acts, church. Every believer was involved in the work of ministry. It wasn't just the fivefold ministry of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Every believer participated in the work of the ministry. They lay hands on the sick. They prayed for them. They cast out devils. Come on, they taught and made disciples. They preached. They baptized. They even planted churches. How did the New Testament church possibly grow like they did? There are estimates that believe that between 10 and 20% of the Mediterranean population were Christians by the end of the 3rd century. How did the church grow like that? They had no church buildings. They didn't have Bibles or printed materials. They didn't have easy ways to travel. They didn't have social media or the internet, no radio or TV. How did they do that? The only way possible was that everyone was involved in the work of ministry. We've got to get back to that. It shouldn't be that most of the church are just church attenders. where we go to church and we watch others do the work of ministry, where somebody else teaches the Bible studies, where somebody else prays for the sick, where someone else tells our neighbors about Jesus, but we just go to church on Sunday and we just go on Wednesday and we're just a spectator and we're entertained by the worship team and we watch others ministering and we listen to the preacher. We might go to the altar, but we don't really pray with anybody else. We just do our own thing and go our own way. And we feel good because, well, I gave a little time to Jesus, but now I'm back to whatever else is more important in my life. That's not what Jesus wants his church to be. Amen. I'm preaching to somebody today. You need to realize who you are in the kingdom of God. You have the power of the Lord upon you, and everywhere you go, you are an ambassador for Jesus Christ. You are a witness unto him, and when you are full of the Holy Ghost, God has given you a calling. Hallelujah. Thank God for the fivefold ministry. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Okay, that's the fivefold ministry. We need apostles, we need prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. But look at what God gave them to the church for. In verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The job of the fivefold ministry is to equip the church for the work of ministry. It is my job as the pastor of this church to convince you that the same Holy Ghost you have, it's the same Holy Ghost I've got, or others in the fivefold ministry. All the power in a church is not just on a platform, but it should be in the pew. Come on. We shouldn't just sit back and say, well, I'm going to let the pastor do everything. I'm going to let the praise team do everything. No, the power shouldn't just be on the platform. It should be in the pew. My job as pastor of this church is to equip you, is to train you, is to give you permission and release you to do the work of ministry. I'm not just talking about cleaning the church, and I'm not just talking about mowing the lawn, and I'm not just talking about teaching a Sunday school class. Those things are important. We've got to have those ministries. But I'm talking about walking in the Holy Ghost so that when we leave this house and we go to our respective places all across this city and this area, we are carrying the gospel of Jesus Christ. And everywhere we go, we are doing the work of ministry because there's hurting souls. There's people who need a miracle. There's people that need deliverance. There's people that need a devil cast out of them, and God has given you authority. How else are we going to reach this city? How else can we evangelize this area? We've all got to do the work of the ministry. The verses today we started with in 1 Peter gave a name to this powerful army that God wants to mobilize. We're called a royal priesthood. It's time for the church to rediscover the work of the ministry like in the New Testament. We'll never reach our world if we don't. The 12 apostles, they are set apart all by themselves. Jesus mentored them. Jesus trained them. He gave them power and authority. The 12 apostles became the leaders of the church in the book of Acts. They're the foundation of the church, Jesus being the chief cornerstone. But the 12 apostles had their limitations. There were only 12 of them. And in Acts chapter 6, the church had a problem that could have stopped revival. There were more needs than there were apostles to go around. And so some of the Greek speaking believers were upset with some of the Hebrew speaking believers. Imagine that. Saying, well, our widows are being neglected in the distribution of food. There was more work than the 12 apostles could do. So what was the answer? Read with me in Acts chapter 6, verse 2. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, "It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip and Prochorus and Nicanor and Timon and Parmenas and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Now, there's a lot in this, okay? The apostles said, we can't leave the word of God and run the food bank. Now, it was not that they were above serving tables, but they realized there were others that were well qualified to serve too. And so they looked for men that were honest and full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. There are people today who may not be apostles. They may not be a part of the fivefold ministry, but the key here is they're full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. If we want to be used in the kingdom of God, we need to pray. We need to seek God until we're full of the Holy Ghost. There's enough of those that are trying to do it on their own strength, on their own power, in their flesh, in their natural ability. But the kingdom of God needs those who are full of the Holy Ghost. If we don't pray, we are stopping God from being able to use us. But if we will pray, if we will seek Him, if we will ask for wisdom, God can make a place for us in His kingdom. And so this leadership team, they were submitted to authority, to spiritual authority. The apostles chose them, confirmed them by laying their hands on them and praying. Well, Pastor, aren't you worried about your authority? People get the wrong idea about authority. They get to thinking, well, you know what, if I could just be in charge, wouldn't that be nice? If I could get the position. We've all got to be under authority if we want to be in authority. In the kingdom of God, as soon as we get out from under authority, I want to tell you, it's a dangerous place to be. We all have to be under authority. Sometimes people think, well, I wish I could be the pastor because then I'd be in authority. I want to tell you what, a true pastor is under more authority than anybody else. Amen. I've got an answer to this church. I've got an answer to ministers that are over in our council of elders. I've got an answer to a board of directors. I've got an answer to a church organization. I've got an answer to so many different people, and I've got an answer to God. But we all have to be under authority. And look what happened when these leaders were selected. The word of God increased. There were more people telling the good news of what Jesus had done for them than ever before. More than just the 12 apostles. It had to be a lot more to get the results that they got. The number of disciples in Jerusalem multiplied greatly. Before this, there was 3,000. Then there were 5,000 added to the Lord at a time. Then Acts 6:1 says, the number of disciples was multiplied. Now, after these 7 men are chosen, the number of disciples was multiplied greatly. So it was more than 3,000. It was more than 5,000. There was exponential growth. And many of the priests were converted too. We're believing for that to happen today. No doubt. No doubt there was priests that came from other cities, from other countries, and they had the gospel given to them, and they went back to wherever they were from, and they took the gospel, spreading it all around the world. And then Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Was Stephen an apostle? No. He was a saint in the local church at Jerusalem. But he did great wonders and miracles. Hallelujah. Now, where was that happening? Did Stephen throw up a big tent and have a camp meeting or a conference? Was it in a powerful worship service where they invited some to come forward and if you're sick, come forward? No, it seems like Stephen was working these wonders and miracles on the streets of Jerusalem. Maybe he was praying for the sick as he served tables. Maybe he was helping serve others. He was ministering to the needs of people. And when he saw the need of people, he said, well, I know a God that can take care of this. We're just going to pray and we're just going to believe right now. And God started confirming his word. And God started using a man of faith and the gift of faith that started to operate. And he worked miracles and wonders. The word of God was spreading. There was exponential growth. Hundreds, maybe thousands of priests were being saved. And now the saints of the church are working miracles on the street. What was it that brought this all on? It was the 12 apostles saying, you know what? There's more ministry than what we can do. There's a ministry of the saints. There's a priesthood of believers. We have faith in the calling of God that is upon the saints, and we're going to share the work of ministry. Can I preach to us here today? There are over 170,000 people in the city of Springfield, over 300,000 in Greene County, 27,000 in Nixa, 100,000 in Christian County, over 500,000 people between Springfield and Branson. If all the pastors of the apostolic churches in this area were able, and we were all working hard, and we were able to reach 1,000 people personally, that's not a drop. That's not even a drop in the bucket. But what if the church would rise up and become what Jesus has designed for us to be? And instead of saying, hey, pastor, can you come teach a Bible study to my neighbor? Can you pray my coworker through to the Holy Ghost? Can you heal the sick in my family? What if the church got so full of the Holy Ghost and stepped into the authority that God has given us and we started to do the work of ministry that God has called us to do? We're a royal priesthood. If we could do this, I believe the work of God would grow exponentially. Come on, somebody. You can pray the prayer of faith. You can cast out devils. You can heal the sick. You can raise the dead. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. I believe it. Does anybody want to see it? Does anybody want to do it? We've got to make up our minds that God can use us. He doesn't have to go find somebody else, but we're going to do the work of ministry. We're going to reach the world with the gospel today. Hallelujah. The problem is there's too many who are not living in victory themselves. And they're not in the position to do what God has called them to do. They're meant to lead others, but they're not even leading themselves. They should be teaching Bible studies, but they can't even be faithful to the house of God themselves. They need to be praying with others in the altar, but instead of praying every day of the week, they're having to pray through themselves when they come to church. They should be walking in the Spirit, but instead they're being led of the flesh. And so God can't use them, and they're not walking in victory, and they're lacking the power of God in their life. This has got to change. We are meant for more. God has called us to something greater. The enemy has sold us something much less than what God has for us. Maybe we are saved. Maybe we do have the Holy Ghost. Maybe we are faithful to church. Maybe we are living a holy life. But it's about more than just us. We are commanded to make disciples. We are carried. We are to carry the gospel to every person. When we step out and do the work of ministry, when we step out and do the work of ministry, there will be an attack. Some people wonder, well, I'm trying to work for God. I'm trying to do the work for God. You would think it would get easier. No, it's going to get harder. The enemy's not threatened by people that just come to church. The enemy's not. I'm going to tell you, the enemy is not scared of people that just attend church. But you let people start doing the work of ministry, and all of a sudden there's an attack that takes place. That's why sometimes people, they're involved in the work of the ministry. They're involved in the work of God. And there's pressure. There's attack. You feel it. Folks, I think I felt it all my life. Even as a kid, my mom and dad pastoring that church, struggling to build a church and all that kind of stuff. And I could feel the pressure. And then, it's kind of become life to me. But sometimes people are like, I can't handle the pressure no more. I don't want to do the work of ministry. I just want to just go to church and be a good saint. The problem is, a lot of people start off just going to church to be a good saint. But if they're not doing what God has called them to do, there's something inside of them that it's not satisfied, and they don't even realize it, and they start drifting. They were once on fire with the Holy Ghost. They were once tuned into the Spirit. Amen. They once could hear the voice of God, but now they just attend church, and something is missing. That passion is not there anymore. And all of a sudden they've drifted so far from where God wants them to be. I want to tell you today, God has called us. We've got to press through. I understand there's pressure. And when you step out of ministry and when you kind of just become a church attendant, you may not feel that pressure. It's because the enemy's not threatened anymore. But God has not called us to take it easy. God has not called us to just attend church. God has called us to operate in the ministry that He's given to the saints. We're a chosen generation. We're a royal priesthood and a holy nation, a peculiar people that should show forth the praises of Him who have called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. A lot of people think, well, that the ministry belongs to the pastor or the evangelist or the missionary. Or we'll let the music team minister. We'll let somebody else pray for the sick. We'll work, let somebody else work the altars. But in our text, Peter says something revolutionary. He says, you are a royal priesthood. Let's look at this priesthood a moment. In the Old Testament, the priest would spend time in the presence of God. They lived in His presence. They ministered before the Lord. They spent time with God. Spending time with God. A royal priesthood spends time with God. Before ministry, before preaching, before miracles, there's got to be time in His presence. The priest would consecrate themselves. They were set apart. They didn't just live any old way. They didn't do just any old thing. They were set apart for a special purpose. A lot of times people are like, well, that's not really necessary. That's not necessarily heaven or hell. They're never going to reach the place where they're consecrated and set apart and God's able to use them to do the miracles that they would see happen if they would say, you know what? I can't live that way. I can't do those things. I've got to separate myself unto what God has for me. A priest intercedes for others. Sure, we can all approach the throne of God ourselves, but there's some people that don't know how to do that. And somebody has got to stand in the gap. Somebody has got to go into the Holy of Holies and represent those who are lost. Abraham interceded for Sodom. Moses interceded for Israel. Paul, he constantly prayed for all the churches in the New Testament. Who are we interceding for? A priest represents God to others. They teach. They declare the word of God. They bless others with the things of God. Are we operating today as ambassadors of Jesus Christ, of the kingdom of God to this world? We've got to show them Jesus. A priest would offer sacrifices. We no longer offer lambs on the altar, but we offer praise. We offer ourselves a sacrifice of praise. We offer our life as service to Him, our prayers, our holiness and separation from the world, our giving. There's still an altar, but it's in our hearts now. It's time we step into the authority that God has given us, a royal priesthood. Oh, Pastor, I just don't know. I just don't think I could do it. I just, this goes against everything. I've just been taught it. You just come to church. You just pay your tithes. You support the work of the kingdom of God, and then you let the pastor do all the work of ministry. Let's look at how it came about in the New Testament. In Luke chapter 9, verse 1 and 2, it says, "Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases, and he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick." So here at the first, there were the 12 apostles. Then in Luke chapter 10, verse 1, we read, "After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come." Going down to verse 9, he told them, "And heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you." Verse 17, "And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name." And in verse 19, he said, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." First there was 12, then it was 70. And in Mark chapter 16, verse 17, he said, "And these signs shall follow the pastors." And these signs are going to follow the 12 apostles. And these signs are going to follow the fivefold ministry of the church. No, that's not what it says. "And these signs shall follow them that believe." Is anybody a believer today? Come on, is anybody a believer today? "In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents accidentally. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." Believers. The saints. Come on, we're all believers today. We've got to start stepping in to the authority that God has given us. It's a priesthood, a royal priesthood. God has called us. He's given us authority. Hey, I'm thankful for my pastor. There are times I want my pastor to pray for me. I believe one of the highest prayers that can be prayed is a pastor that's praying in the Holy Ghost. I've taught about that before, because the pastor is operating in the authority of a pastor. And I believe God honors that authority. And when the pastor is praying in the Spirit, The Spirit is praying through him in that authority, but God knows what needs to be prayed, and in the will of God, the Holy Ghost can move and work through that pastor. I believe that's one of the greatest prayers that can be prayed. But there's sometimes a pastor's not around. There's sometimes pastors praying for somebody else. Pastor might be on vacation. I think we're okay with that around here. We realize we don't want to work the pastor to death. So every once in a while, he might go on vacation. What am I going to do, Brother Drew? I can't get a hold of pastor. He's not answering my text. He's not picking up the phone. What are we going to do, Brother Luke? Somebody's sick. Somebody needs a miracle. Somebody's got a devil. What are we going to do? Are you a believer? Are you a believer? There is an anointing of God that is available for people that will step in to the calling that God has. You are a royal priesthood. It's time that we stop relying on somebody else. If we're in the moment and there's somebody that needs healing, if we're in the moment and you got to cast out a devil, if we're in the moment and right there, right then, there's somebody that needs a miracle, they need the Holy Ghost, you step into that authority. You start praying, you start believing, you start casting out. I believe that God's about to use this church to help us see exponential growth. But it's going to happen through the priesthood. The royal priesthood. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me in closing today? Have we forgotten who we are? We're not just saved. We are called. We are chosen. We are a royal priesthood. No, not everybody's called to preach from behind the pulpit. Not everybody's going to have a minister's license. Not everyone's going to be part of the fivefold ministry of the church. There's some people that got a minister's license, they've never done any of this. You don't need a minister's license to see somebody healed. I love the United Pentecostal Church, but just because I'm a licensed minister with the United Pentecostal Church does not mean that I have these things. No, the reason why you have it is because God has called us as believers. Every believer is called to minister before the Lord. And in the Old Testament, the high priest would go once a year into the Holy of Holies. Go with fear and trembling. But today we have access to the presence of God every single day. The Old Testament priest hoped and prayed that God would receive the sacrifice. They would tie a rope around his leg just in case. I don't know if that ever happened. I don't think the Bible ever says it, but I wonder. They would tie a rope around his leg just in case they had to pull him out. But today we come knowing that the sacrifice of Jesus Christ has already paid our price. Hallelujah. What they experienced once a year in the Old Testament, we can experience every single day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, that's the privilege, but also it's the responsibility of a royal priesthood. Brother Drew, I don't want to just take it for granted. Well, I can feel the presence of the Lord anytime, so I'm not going to pray today. I can have the power of God. Well, yeah, we feel that in every service, so it's not really any big thing. Yeah, you know, we could pray and see miracles happen, so there's no real reason, urgency to pray right now. We'll get around to it later. No, there's a responsibility on us. Praise the Lord. I'm preaching to some that you're here, you got this, you're ready.
I'm encouraging you, keep it up. Let's go forward.
I'm preaching to some others that you want to see it, but you're just not quite there. You're a little scared. This pastor's telling, hey, it's time. It's time. Lord, give them an open door this week to pray for somebody that needs healing, to cast out a devil. Are we apostolic? Lord, let somebody want the Holy Ghost this week. And out of the blue, ask, hey, can you pray with me that I'd receive the Holy Ghost? What are you going to do? Pastor? Pastor, where are you at? No. You pray right then. You don't have to have music. You don't have to have preaching. You might need to give them a little Bible study. Just go read the book of Acts and say, we're going to pray. And you just receive what God has for you and watch what happens. Hallelujah. But I'm also preaching to some people that you have a calling upon your life. It might not be to be an evangelist. It might not be to be an apostle, pastor, or prophet. It might just be that you're supposed to start a neighborhood Bible study. And God is going to start working miracles in that Bible study. And the news is going to get out. And people are going to start to come. And you're going to have to dig in. Because this is something you've never been to this level before. But if we are preventing God from being able to use us, because we're not living right, because we're not praying, because we have sin in our life, because we're not being faithful, because we're not submitted to authority, there are souls that are weighing in the balance, and we are responsible for them. So wherever we're at, whatever level we're on, I believe it's time, folks. You are a royal priesthood. We're not back in the Middle Ages where everybody had to go to a priest. We're trying to get back to the New Testament where there's a priesthood of believers. Amen. Would you come to this altar and say, Lord, here I am. I want you to use me. Help my faith, Lord. Help my prayer life to be able to sustain the calling that you have for me. Lord, I've got to get some things right in my life. There's some sin in my heart today. I've made some mistakes. I've been struggling with faithfulness. I haven't been what you called me to be, Lord, but that's got to change because there's a work that you need me to do. And so here I am, Lord. Work in me, move in me, help me, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, would you answer the call that God has for your life? Would you be available for the purpose that He has designed for you? Would you turn your life over to Jesus right now? Have your way, Lord. Have your way, God.